You would turn with me in your Bibles in the book of Jonah. It's one of the smallest books in the Bible. Some of you probably don't even know where Jonah is. Hallelujah. But it's one of the minor prophets. You go to Jonah. From there. Pass all of that. Obadiah. And then you get into Jonah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jonah chapter 1. And the book of Jonah is a very interesting book. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Let me go to number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the title of my message today, we cannot run from the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this house. We thank you, God, that you have set the atmosphere for miracles. Because you're a miracle-working God. Lord, we open our hearts to you today. And we ask, oh God, that you would touch each and every one of us in this place today, Lord. We want to hear from you, Lord Jesus. Speak, oh Lord, and let your servants hear it. Father, we surrender this time to you. And we thank you, God, for what you're about to do in this place. Lord, we know it's not by feelings, but it's by your grace and your mercy. So, Father, today we thank you. We thank you for everything that you have done for us and for what you are about to do. And for this, we forever give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. The story of Jonah has passed on from generation to generation. So many of us have heard about the story of Jonah and the whale. We've heard it in Sunday school. We heard it preached from the pulpit. We have read books about Jonah and the whale. But the story really isn't about a whale. The story is about our great God. Every verse, every chapter shows the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of God. As we read Jonah, God called Jonah, what do we really know about Jonah? In 2 Kings 14:25, we hear Jonah ministering under Jeroboam, second Israel's most powerful king. Jonah was a prophet. We know that he had a relationship with God. He knew the God of the heaven and of the earth. Jonah was the only one who was given a prophecy by God and ran from God. He chose to rebel. The call upon Jonah's life was different from the call to the other prophets. He was the only one that was called to go and to preach to the Gentiles. Now we know, we heard about Nineveh. Nineveh was, some commentary said, 500 miles northeast from Israel. And some again said 800 miles. Nineveh was about 500 or 800 miles northeast of Israel. What we will learn in the scripture is that the Assyrian was a great and evil empire, evil deeds against the things of God. They were wicked, cruel, in war. There was a lot of adultery and prostitution. It was just a wicked city. And God spoke to Jonah and said, arise and go down to Nineveh and warn the people of judgment. And if they repent of their sin, he said, I will forgive them and I will cause my mercy to be upon them. That was the last thing Jonah wanted to do and the last place he wanted to go. Because Jonah hated the Assyrians. They were Israel's most dreaded enemies. And there's no way Jonah wanted mercy for them. He wanted judgment. We believe probably some of Jonah's family members or maybe friends were slaughtered by the Assyrians. Some of them probably were held captive. But Jonah did not care for these people at all. So Jonah decided that he's going to run from the call of God. Jonah says, no, not me. I'm not going to die. Jonah had his own mind made up to do what he wanted to do. Now remember, this man is a prophet. He's a man of God. He has the fear of God in his heart. But he chose to disobey God. How many of us that sometimes God has told us to do something and we choose to disobey? Because I just don't want to. I don't like her and I'm not going to her. I'm not going to go tell her I love her. You know, sometimes I know there's people like maybe within your midst and, you know, you had something, okay, you know, with each other and all of a sudden it's, you know, something. I don't even want to be in her presence anymore. She's no longer my friend. That's it. That is over. That friendship is over. That's it. And the Lord spoke to him and says, you know, I want you to go over to that sister and carry some dinner for her. Go and tell her you forgive her, you love her. He says, no, I'm not going. And you refuse to go to that individual. And this is what had happened to Jonah. Even though the Lord had called him, Jonah refused to obey. And the scriptures tell us that Jonah, he ran from the call of God. He received clear, concise instruction. There was no misunderstanding. He knew exactly what he had to go and accomplish. He didn't have to ask him questions. The call was clear to Jonah. You know, it's a privilege to have the God who created the heaven and the earth to speak to us. I mean, even to use us and to call us. What an honor for God to speak to you and to call you to do something for him. And here was Jonah running from the call of God. If you are called to do something challenging, you know it's God. And sometimes it's fear that make us run away from your call. But we want to know that if God called you, he already equipped you. He already gone before you and made the crooked places straight. Not only that, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to accomplish what he's calling you to do. You have all his greatness, the fullness of God inside of you. And God wants to manifest his awesome power in your life. And this is what he wanted to do in Jonah's life. Jonah, the Bible tells us that he ran. He went down to Joppa. And he paid the fare to get on the ship to go to Tarshish. No, we don't know how far it was, but he wanted to go far, far away from the call of God. In other words, like I remember back home, we had some relatives. I'm a city girl. I was born in Trinidad, Port of Spain. But I have relatives who were born in the country and lived in the country. And sometimes they would come to visit us. And, you know, they would live so far away that we'd have this joke and we'd say, they live behind God's back. God don't even know where that place is. This is what Jonah was doing. He was running so far. Tarshish figure went away from God's presence. God don't even know where that place is. That's what you call Timbuktu. Far away. He just wanted to get on the ship and go. Running from God. And we know that Jonah got on the ship. And we know exactly what happened to Jonah, because, you know, you cannot run from the presence of God. I want to read to you in Psalm 139. And this is so wonderful. Psalm 139, verse 7 to verse 12. The psalmist said, whether I shall go from thy presence, from thy spirit, or whether I shall flee from thy presence, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light above me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What is that saying to us? Can you run from the presence of God? No, you can't. David said, if I make my bed in heaven, Lord, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, there you are. If I go down to the bottom of the sea, there you are. I can't get away from you. You may think he doesn't see you. But listen, we serve an omnipresent God. He is everywhere. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. That's the God we serve. So what makes us think that we can hide from God? Do you know there's Christians today who's playing with sin and dabbling in and out and think that God didn't see them, that they can get away with it? Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And this is what happened to Jonah. It will take you deep down, further than you want to go. And not only that, it's a price to pay. And we see the price that Jonah paid. The Bible said that he got into the ship. And he was headed to Tarshish. And God sent a great wind. Because God said, Jonah, you can't run from me. I'm going to show you who I am. He's in control of everything. The wind, the sea, everything. And the great wind came, and Jonah's ship going to Tarshish. And the Bible said, while Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship, and he was fast asleep. And the sailors knew that this was a different kind of storm, because these are men that live on the sea. And they've been through many storms, but they said, this one is different. What's wrong? They began to cry out to their God. And the Bible said they began to throw all their belongings and different things overboard to lighten the ship. They did everything that they thought of that they could do. But nothing was changed. They decided to throw lots to see what is wrong. And the Bible said, it's better for Jonah. And they went down to the bottom of the ship. See, this is why sometimes, you know, we think we can get away with our sin. Nobody sees us. And we think, I'm okay. But we have a God who's looking. And the Bible said they went down there and they said to Jonah, Arise, O sleeper. When God tells us arise, what he's saying, wake up, get up from your comfortable place. Get away from the old. I want to do a new thing in your life. Arise and go. Whenever he speaks to us, it's because he wants to do something in our lives. Something beyond even our imagination. And the Bible tells us that Jonah got up and they said, who are you? What country did you come from? Who is your family? What did you do? They knew then that Jonah was running from the presence of God. And this is what he did. And Jonah began to tell them, I'm a Hebrew. I have the fear of God in my life. The God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land. That's the one who I'm running from. And they say, why don't you pray to your God? Because we would perish. Listen, let me tell you something. The one who disobeys, don't even cause, don't only cause difficulty in your own life, but you also would bring destruction into others' lives. And this is what happened. This is what sin will do. Now, if you remember Achan in the book of Judges, in the book of Joshua, where Achan, we know that he went and he touched the cursed thing, when the Lord had spoken to him and said, don't touch anything from the enemy, and he went. He went out to war and he took the gold and the silver and garments. And the Bible said he hid it in the earth under his tent. And because of one man's sin, God said, bring his family, bring his wife, his children, bring his oxen, everything that belongs to Achan, and destroy it. Kill it. Because of one man's sin, his entire family was destroyed. This is what sin will do. You not only bring danger to yourself, but you bring danger to others. The Bible said that they went. And Jonah, they said, pray to your God that he will save us. And Jonah knew that he was running from God. He knew that he had to get to Tarshish, and he knew that he couldn't get to where he was going on a ship. And he said, throw me overboard, and the sea will be calm. Here the sailors didn't want to do it. They did everything that they could do to get to dry land. But the Bible said the storm got worse. And they prayed to God and said, God forgive us. We don't want this man's blood to be upon our hand. And they threw Jonah overboard. And the Bible said the sea was calm. God had already gone before Jonah and he prepared a big fish, a whale, for Jonah. That doesn't sound to me like a nice vacation on a resort island. It doesn't. But Jonah, God had already prepared the way for Jonah. You see, and the purpose of the way was not to destroy Jonah, but to preserve him for what God was calling him to do. And here we see Jonah in the whale's belly. Could you imagine all the seaweeds and all the different things that Jonah had to put up with? I mean, could you imagine if he had just obeyed the commander? He could have avoided all of this in his life. And this is it. When he tells us go do, just go do. Not only that, the Bible said he paid a high price to get to where he was going. And it was in the wrong direction. He was going in the wrong direction, which was leading to destruction. The Bible said the way to a man may seem right, but the end of that road is destruction. At that time, it might seem right to Jonah,
This is my answer. I could get away. But there was destruction waiting for Jonah. The Bible said he stayed in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Now God had his attention. I bet he did. Because Jonah began to pray out of the whale's belly. Listen, whatever God has to do to get our attention, he will. You know why? Because he loves us so much.
Yes.
That's why. He's not out there with a big stick the moment we do something wrong to just knock us down. He extends his loving arm, his grace and his mercy to us, even when we disobey. He's still there caring and loving us. The way was to preserve Jonah, not to destroy Jonah. When Jonah got out to dry land, he had a new commission. Man, he knew this is it. No longer am I going to run. I am just going to do what the Lord is calling me to do. Jonah found out, like so many of us, that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And it's in our obedience that the blessing comes. I'm not saying every time we get into a terrible situation means that we disobey, because we live in an evil world and sometimes just things just happen to us. But sometimes things come into our lives because of our disobedience. Sometimes you may be going through something, and over and over this is happening and that is happening and that is happening. You say, okay, Lord, tell me, what's wrong? Is there some sin here in my life or something that I've done that causing this one right after the other? Sometimes it happens that I know a dear sister in our church who's really going through. It's like every day is something new, a new battle. And I said, the Lord will never give us more than we can bear. She says, I don't understand it. She said, what else could happen to me? And I know this dear saint, I know her life. I know she loves the Lord. She's a giver. I know her heart. She has such a heart that whatever you need from you, she's the first one to reach out to give it to you. I know her. I've worked with her every day. And I said to her, you know what? The devil is fighting you so hard because you are getting ready from him.
Amen.
I said, you are on the brink of your miracle, and sometimes that happens. The enemy knows, so he threw everything at us. All what he can throw at us, he throws it at us to bring discouragement and to bring us to that place of hopelessness. And this is what in Nineveh, there was so much hopelessness there. But do you know what? God wanted Jonah to go to bring hope to the people. Nobody's beyond redemption. Nobody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. He came for the Jews and the Gentiles. He came for each and every one of us. The word of God says that God prayed that none would perish and all will come. That's the heart of God. His heart is that none would be lost, but all will come. And the Bible tells us that Jonah went down to Nineveh. God had already prepared his heart. And the Bible said, from the least to the greatest, repent with sackcloth and ashes. And even the animals, went in the fast, the king ordered not even the animals to give them drink, water, no food. And a revival broke out in Nineveh. Could you imagine? Because now that Jonah decided to obey the Lord, look what God did. He spared Nineveh from the judgment. We never know. When God sends us someplace, we don't know what He wants to do. Like we were saying, apart from the war, going to Thailand. We don't know what God wants to do over there, how He wants to use Pastor Gabor. Yes, Thailand may seem like a hopeless place, but God is able to reach the Buddhist. Mm-hmm. Nothing is too hard for God, and nothing is impossible for God. All He's looking for is a willing vessel that would arrive and go to where He's leading you to go. You know, here we see the love and the mercy of God and how He reaches out to people in spiritual darkness. Even though they may be wicked and evil, God loves them. His love is so great. And this is what the Word of God says, His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. We may have friends or family members in our own family that probably did something to us. And you don't care whether they get saved or not. You don't even care about them. If they go to hell, who cares? But God cares.
Yeah.
Nobody has reached too far for God. I saw several years ago, there was this young man that was on, I think, 2020. And it was a young man who was in prison. He was on death row because he had murdered several people. And he was on death row. And they had him because while he was in prison, he found the Lord and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Some of us might say, well, it's a shame that he got saved because he killed all those people. He should go there. He deserved going to hell. And they had the story that the man came and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said even though that he was going to die, that he had so much peace and so much joy. And they showed that even when they were going to execute him, he had the pastor come in. And the prayer that they were praying was the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I think in 2020, it was the title of it was Dead Man Walking, because he was in death row.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed this man's life and what happened to him. And not this is 2020, secular child. But here he was giving glory to God. Mm-hmm. I also saw on the news a couple of weeks ago about this family that was murdered. Some of you probably heard about it, where they broke into this home and there was this man with his wife and his two daughters, where they tied him up down in the basement to send the wife to the bank and told him to go to the bank to get all the money and bring to her, and they would spare the daughters. She got to the bank, got all her money, went back home. And this two was two guys. They were brutally murdered. I mean, the husband said he went downstairs for some reason, he survived. And he could hear his daughters and his wife screaming. And you hear that as if it could be like, he deserves to go to hell for what he has done. But do you know something? God loves that man.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the crime he committed, he loves him. And this is what was going on in Nineveh. There was wickedness, there was adultery, there was so much going on. But God said, Jesus, the wickedness has come up to me. He said, well, Jonah, please go and warn them of judgment, that I would spare them if they repent. God hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. And He wants us, His people, to be His arms and His legs and to go forth to those who do not know Him, those who are without hope,
and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. It doesn't matter who they are. He doesn't want us just to focus on our own people. Sometimes He wants us to go to those we don't even like. I'm from Trinidad. That's in the West Indies, and we are very close to Jamaica. And there's an old thing in Trinidad. Do you know the Trinidadians do not like the Jamaicans, and likewise, the Jamaicans do not like the Trinidad. And we are all from the Caribbean. But it's something, we don't like those people. And this is the thing, we don't like those people. Yeah. And when somebody says to me, I mean, I said, God still have to deliver me. Are you Jamaican? No! I'm from Trinidad. Like, don't even go there. You know what I mean? And it's the truth. It's the truth. And I get it all the time. Oh, your accent, you're from Jamaica. I said, no, I'm from Trinidad. I'm not a Jamaican. You see what I'm saying? We have a kind of beef against each other. And this was Jonah. I don't even like those people. They're not part of us. I don't want to go to them. Let them perish in their sin. I mean, really. Even with us today, we do that. We do it. You know, different cultures. We don't like this culture. We don't like that culture. We don't know. I don't really like those people. This was what was happening. They're wicked. It's like Peter and John. Remember Peter and John said, Lord, why don't you call down fire from heaven and burn them up? Some of us want to do that. What a group of people over there. They are just a mental bunch of people. Just wipe them out. That was God. Just wipe them out from the face of the earth. That's not God's heart. His heart is His soul. He wants His soul. And as we go on, Jonah. Do you think after revival broke out that Jonah would be excited? Some pastors would have gone and they would preach and tell all about what God did in Nineveh, how God used me, and listen, and the entire city got saved. Revival broke out. And some pastors, they would write books about what happened. But Jonah was there. He went out of the city. The audience, and he sat there in the shade and was waiting for God. Destruction. Still waiting for God to destroy. He said, I know they're turned away from God. He said, but God, I know that you're gracious and you're so merciful. I know, God, you're a good God. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth man to repentance. Is God's goodness that we are here today? Is nothing good that we did? We are not special. Is the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. And Jonah said, I know you're a good God and you are so gracious, God. And he knew that if the people repent, that God would forgive them, because he knew the God that he served. And the Bible said he stopped waiting to see. And the Bible said that God sent a plant. And the plant gave strength to Jonah, because Jonah says, Lord, I just want to die. Kill me. I want to die. I don't want to live. But again, let's look at the love of God. He sent a plant to give shade to Jonah. And Jonah is all excited. Oh, thank God for this plant. It's good out here. And they said that night, God sent a worm and ate the plant. And when Jonah was so upset because his plant had died. And they said, Jonah, you care more for the things that is not important. Look how you grieve and you care about that plant that is here today and withered tomorrow. How much more should you care for these people? Hundreds of thousands of people. And this is what it is. Sometimes we care more for our pets, not for things that really is not that important.
But for a soul, we don't care about it. God teaches us a great lesson in the book of Jonah. The lesson of the Great Commission and the love of God. And that's why the book was written, to show, to emphasize God's love to all people and to show His grace and mercy. If they repent, He'll forgive them. And this is what we see in the book of Jonah. What a powerful lesson. In Matthew, you could write the scripture down, Matthew 12:40, in closing. It says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The whale's belly was likened unto Christ going down into Hades, coming back up with a victory over sin and Satan. It shows His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Christ died for us all. What a good God. This is why I love Him. When you read the Word of God, and when you see what He has done for you, to know that He saved your soul, and you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die in your sin. And not only that, that God will speak to you and He called you to carry His word to all people. What an honor and what a privilege it is to serve the true and the living God. We must not limit our focus on our own people, as I shared before. He loves all people and He wants us to reach out to all people. You know, and when I first came to National, and you know, the church is National Church of God. And what I loved about National when I first got there, they had all different nationalities. So I said, well, what's the name for church? We have unique, the Korean, Filipino, the Hispanic, the Jamaican, the Trinidad, and we all got together. And we would have like International Day. So here I would come up with my most favorite dish, my curry chicken. Nobody can make curry chicken like me. Sorry, Sister Rebecca. Hallelujah. You know? And then the people come out with their dish, and Lamai, she comes up with her. What is your dish, Lamai? Patai. Nobody can make patai like Miss Lamai. Hallelujah. That sounds like a song, right? Nobody can make patai like Miss Lamai. Hallelujah. But, you know, and it's so wonderful because we would go around to each table and say, oh, so where are you from? Romania? Let me try this. Try a little bit of Romanian food. We go over to the Filipino table and the Korean and the Hispanic. And it's so wonderful to see all the different cultures, all the different nationalities, and just to try the different foods. It's wonderful. That's what heaven is going to be like. All nationality will be there. So we have to pull down the gate, the stronghold of prejudice. We don't like them. We don't want them in our church. We want to go to all people. And this is what it's showing us in Jonah. All people, He died for all people. And who are we? I'm right. Who are we? God loves all people. I want to ask you today, is the Nineveh the Lord is leading you to? And he has such a good sense of humor. Just like he said to Jonah. He knew Jonah could be standing with Stephen. He says, yeah, I wanted to go there. Yeah. It's the very thing sometimes that we don't want to do, God will tell us to do. Because you know what? He's looking for obedience. He wants to see people there. He wants to see people trust. Maybe he's sending you to another part of the world. You know, I really admire missionaries that who would leave their nice, comfortable home and they would go to some remote part of the world where there's no good running water. I mean, there's so much disease. And they would leave all their comfort and they would go and live among these people. I admire them. And I said, Lord, I know my calling is to go on a mission field. But just send me them nice places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? We try to tell God where to send us. But Lord, don't send me over there. I'm afraid of those people. No way, mosquitoes. A lot of witchcraft. No way, I'm not going. Lord, you know, I'll go, but don't send me to those places. You know something? That's the very place he will send me. But I want to encourage you. If he's sending you, he will not let any harm come to you. I heard a minister a long time ago, he said, if God didn't send you to India, he said, don't go to India. Because you know what? You may not come back out alive, or you may not come back well. Because there's a lot of diseases, there's so much things there. But if God sent you what he was saying, if God sent you to India, God is able to keep you wherever he sends you. So if you know it is God, I tell you to this end, obey the call. Just go do what he's asking you to do. And don't let fear keep you away from the blessings of God. Or fear keep you away from seeing the awesome power and the ability of God move in your life. He probably wants to use you to save an entire city. Maybe he's calling you to Washington, D.C. You don't even have to go to a flat place right in D.C. There's a lot of wicked people. Maybe he wants you to go to D.C. Sometimes I look at the news and I see, oh, what happened in D.C.? They shut the kids down. Just never live in D.C. I like over here. It's safe, nice area, nice neighborhood. He wants us to go. He's a good God. So when he speaks, and you know it is God, you obey. Running from God will cost you so much more than you want to pay. It will cost you so much more than you want to pay. Sin comes with a price, and it's a high price. And disobedience is a sin. So you make up in your mind today, Lord, I will obey. I like this time. I'm going to tell you this quick testimony and we're going to close it. Several years ago, this, maybe 30 years ago now, I mean, time goes by fast. I was still living in New York, was married, having a lot of marital problems. I told you all that before. I went through a lot of physical and verbal abuse. And I would leave home, leave my husband, take my kids, and run to Mama's house for safety. My husband would call, I'm sorry, baby, please come back home. I will not do it again. And when you're in love, you say, okay, I'll be right there. So you go back. And a couple of weeks later, same thing. You run back to Mama's house. You get a call, come back. You go back again. Went back one time and I said, this is it. I'm not going back. He will not change. No, during that time, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. and I'm just loving God, and I'm so excited about Jesus. You know, when you just found this new hope, he said, oh my God, so wonderful, I'm having such a good time. It's like Moses, why don't we, so why don't we build three tabernacles there, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for, oh, he was having such a good time. That was, I mean, I could stay right here, this is good. And one morning, true story, I'm getting ready for work. And my mom at the time, she used to babysit, and she had like maybe three or four kids would come in every day in the apartment. She lived in an apartment. And one morning, one of the parents came in, and she brought in her son. And my mom said to the parents, she said, you know something? These parents really trust me with their children. My mom was a good babysitter. And she smacked them on the butt sometimes if they didn't behave. This was years ago. You could do that. You sit down. You eat your vegetables. You eat it. They loved my mom. They loved her. They thought she was the best babysitter. Especially coming from the West Indies, you know, children had to obey. You know, and as I'm impressed, and my mom said, this, you know, these parents, they trust me with their children. And when she said the word, I heard the hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. I heard that hymn. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to go back home. And I said, well, go back home? I can't go back home. Oh, no way. I cannot. At the time, my husband had this little girlfriend coming into the house, and sometimes she would stay in the house because she said, she's gone, my wife is not coming back. God, a couple of months went by, and I struggled. I went to work that day, I'm struggling with this. Oh my God, go back home, I can't go back home. And I know the Lord was looking and nudging me, you have to go back home and you have to trust me. At the time, I was going to a little Baptist church, and I called the pastor, and I said, Pastor Bliss, I said, you know, I left my husband several weeks ago. And I said, I have to go back home. I want you to pray with me. And he prayed with me over the phone. And I went back home. Took my suitcase, took my kids, and my mom says, where are you going? I said, Mom, I got to go back home. I said, the Lord told me that I must go back. I had to trust the Lord. And I had to obey God. Sometimes God is looking for obedience and he wants to see that if he trusts me with this one. And I got there and I'm sitting at the door, it's locked because he had already changed the lock on the door, so I couldn't get in. I got into the front door, but I couldn't get into the house, the apartment. And when I got there, a couple hours later, I'm sitting on the chair, the steps, and I just had Nisa, and my husband walked in and said, what are you doing here? I said, the Lord told me to come back home. He looked at me crazy. The Lord told me to come back home. No, his girlfriend was in the house. But a boldness came over me. This is the truth. And I walked up to the door behind me and he says, you're not coming in yet. And I said, yes, I am. And he started, you know, fussing with me and trying to, you know. And anyway, the girl came out from the living room. She says, Paul, what are you doing? And I said to her, I said, you got to leave because I'm back. And if this was God, you know, I'd be like, what in the world? I mean, God, you know. She said to me, she said, you know something? He told me that you were not coming back. And this is why I'm here. She says, but I'm going to leave. And she packed her little suitcase and she left. God is my witness. After a while, I said, he could kill me. Oh, Jesus. You got to have me. But you know something? God protected me. Yeah. And he couldn't do anything, my husband. He couldn't touch me. Because, you see, God was looking for my obedience. Like I said, sometimes he would challenge you and he'd call you to do something that is impossible. Go back home. There's this girl living there. I left home a couple of months ago. The news has already gone out. She's not coming back. My God. I'm still here.
Amen.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And God showed me over all of that. He said, I want you to trust me. And I was looking for obedience. You see, because when he moves us into different places and situations, that will come up against us. Are you truly going to stand and trust God? Because these trials and these situations is to strengthen you and to see the hand of God move in your life. Glory be to God. I have a testimony of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. I could have been killed, but God protected me. So when God calls you, he will protect you. You don't have to be afraid. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here today in closing that is it, Pastor Lorraine, I have a need. I want you to pray for me. You don't have to come up to the altar if you don't want to. You just lift your hand. Maybe something that the Lord is laying on your heart to do, and it's just fear that's keeping you away from doing it. Fear will put us in bondage. Fear paralyzes us. Fear will keep you away from doing what he's asking you to do. Maybe something very simple. He didn't just save you to come to church and hear a preacher preach and enjoy the message and go home and that's it. He saved us and he commissioned us to go. And that's what the Bible said. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Share Jesus Christ to those on our job. Wherever we go, you may certainly pray for me for holy boldness. I want the boldness to minister to those on my job or in my school, wherever you are. He wants to use you. He's giving us an opportunity every day to be his hand and his feet. We are not going to be like children to run and to pay a high price. Still come back. And God's instruction was still the same. Go to me. God didn't change his mind. It was still the same. So if God is speaking to your heart, we are things of God. We have the Holy Spirit and we know when he's speaking to us. If he's speaking to you today, something that he's telling you to do and you're not doing it, it's holding up your blessing. Maybe it's holding up your miracle. If you say today, God, I choose to obey. I will obey your call. Maybe there's something else in your life that you believe in God for, that he wants to do for you today. Is there anybody with a request? Just lift your hand. Lift your hands. Maybe you believe in God for a healing. Hallelujah. He sees the hand and he knows the need. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whatever it may be, maybe you believe in God for a financial breakthrough. Maybe you're believing him for boldness. Whatever it is, he's here. And he wants to meet that need today. He wants to set us free from those things that's holding us in bondage. That situation probably that the enemy is using in your life to bring you to a place where you feel so hopeless. I believe today, as we let the Lord know, this is it, God, I'm believing you for my deliverance. There's going to be a change in our lives. And I ask everyone to stand for the lesson.